And we're back on Veterans Radio with Captain Jack Ench. We listen to the Medal of Honor series that we do every week, and both Dale and I were shaking our heads in disbelief at some of the things that the people do. But let me read this off that, Jack, you were awarded the Navy Cross, Legion of Merit three times, Bronze Star with Combat V twice, Purple Heart twice, Meritorious Service Medal three times, Air Medal 18, the Navy Commendation Medal with Combat V three times, Prisoner of War Medal, Combat Action Ribbon, and numerous other ribbons. That the things that preserve the freedom of not just our country, but the world, are due to people like you and others that served in the military. What was the Navy Cross for?
The Navy Cross was for our MIG engagement. I guess that list of kind of shows I was in the right place sometimes, in the wrong place at other times. It was for the MIG engagement where we encountered six MIGs and shot down two of them and shot one of them off of our wingman's tail to keep them from getting shot down, and protected a strike group going into the Haiphong area, where they got in and out unscathed because we tied up the MIGs that would have gone against the attack planes going in there to drop their bombs. So they thought that was worthy for Navy Cross, so
well,
we got it.
Hopefully you will tell the story about the way you were able to write it. I read the article about how it took place, and I always had a vision that when you guys were fighting, doing your dog fighting up over the north, that it was sort of at a distance. You might cut inside somebody, they might cut inside you or whatever. It was pretty much a scramble up there in that particular engagement. Could you take us through it?
Well, it was, we launched and normal launch, went up, topped off tank, and we went up and ingressed over the Karst Mountains up there north of Hongay. You fly down the Karst Ridge and shield yourself from the anti-aircraft and SAM batteries down in the Delta area around there.
You're pretty low at that point, are you?
Yeah, we were probably 5,000 feet or something like that, I guess.
Okay.
And as soon as we crossed the beach, as soon as we started in, our controller out on the ship at Red Crown gave us a vector, and they said, Rock River, you have bandits at, 270, 35 miles, your vector. And so that we were surprised at that, because when they say bandit, that means that they're confirmed MIGs. Usually they would just say you have bogeys, but once they identified as a bandit, that meant that it has been confirmed and that you were, these are actually MIGs, not just just a blip on the radar. And so that surprised us, and went back and got confirmation right away and say, understand, bandits, are we cleared to fire? Yes, you're cleared to fire. Because all the rules of engagement up there, especially up there in the north, you had the Air Force coming in the back doors, we called it, coming in from their bases over in Thailand, and then you had the Navy coming in from the water side, so you had people going at each other and what we call the blue on blue, where that you didn't want to shoot down one of your own services aircraft, your own country's aircraft. So there was a lot of rules of engagement up there where you had to have clearance to fire and have it confirmed by the radar down there, and they had ways of doing that. And so they said, yeah, you're bandits, you're cleared to fire. So our fangs started coming out, and okay, here we go. And so I got on the radar and started looking in that direction, and we kept taking the vectors from our controller. He meaning that you know, as we started in there, if the airplane, if the bandits were to our right, he'd say, you know, okay, come right, 260, or come left. This, in other words, he's trying to help steering us onto them with his radar until we could get in contact with him, either radar or visual.
And your job to confirm was not to attack targets on the ground. Your job was to protect the planes that were attacking targets on the ground.
On this mission, we were configured as a fighter. The F-4 was both a bomber and a fighter. It could be. We always carried missiles, but we also could. It was a powerful little hog, man. It could carry a lot of ordnance. And so, on a bombing mission, you would carry bombs and go in, and usually flak suppression or something like that ahead of the main strike group, the A-4s and the A-6s, and go down and try to suppress the flak. We called it flak absorption. But we would try to keep the heads down of those people ahead of time and then pull back up. And then by that, after you dropped your bombs, you switched over and you were a fighter around the area. But this particular mission, we were designated as a MIG cap, MIG Combat Air Patrol. And we were loaded with nothing but missiles. And that was our job, is to go up there in a cap station and intercept, put ourselves between the MIG threat and where the strike was going, and to tie up any MIGs before they could get to the strike group. And that was the mission of a MIG cap.
Let me give you a little warning. We've got slightly over 4 minutes to cover this fight.
All right. No, I'll speed it up here. I'll go to the speed of the engagement. Anyway, so we got our Victor in there, and we couldn't get a radar lock. We kept going, lowering our altitude as we kept going down in there, trying to get, because they were down low. We got within a few miles of them. I got a brief radar paint on the radar. I couldn't get a lock up on it. The F-4 was terrible over land. It was designed for an overwater intercept, a little ground clutter. Muggs, my pilot, he said, I got a tally-ho on the nose, 5 miles, something like that. And just about that time, we saw two MiG-19s cross between us. He called for a cross turn where the airplanes cross their paths and turn back against them. As we went into that turn, there were four MiG-17s behind the 19s. They were kind of trying to trap us to turn on the 19s, which we did, and then they would have been at our 6 o'clock, but as it turned out, we turned right into them. We can engage with these MiG-17s. Mike Rabb, rookie, and Ken Crandall, they went low, and MiG-17 got on their tail and chased them around for the rest of the fight. They couldn't shake him. We had broken high, and we broke into the other MiG-17s. In engagement, we started going. I saw one of them at our 8 o'clock, and he was starting to be a threat. I called him up and said, 8 o'clock. We got a MiG threat at 8 o'clock. He looked back at him. About that time, another MiG made a pass at us and came right nose to head within canopy to canopy almost. You could feel him fly by. And
that's close.
So Muggs, we turned to counter the one at 8 o'clock, and when he did that, the guy was close, and he did a maneuver that was very one that he had worked out, and I can't get into it in this short time, but in essence, what happened was the airplane actually departed controlled flight, and we flipped nose over tail for a couple of times, and he got control of the airplane again, and we were down about 1,500 feet or so.
You cartwheeled.
Swooped up, and of course that destroyed the tracking solution of that MiG. We came back up, and there was one in front of us. We fired at him. He outmaneuvered the missile. We did a few more turns with a couple of MiGs. Finally, I saw one at 4 o'clock, and this guy was starting to shoot at us with the cannon. And I said, okay, 4 o'clock, tracking and shooting, do something. So he broke into him, and when he did, this MiG, we broke into him so hard that the MiG broke to try to keep his tracking solution. When he did that, his airplane turned up such that he couldn't see over the nose of the aircraft. and Muggs, who had been at VX4 and actually been part of the program where we exploited some captured MiGs. He had actually had time in a MiG flying up there. So he realized that that guy could not see us in that position. So he came out of burner, pushed negative G, and pulled away from him underneath him. And this guy kept going in one direction, and we were doing negative G in the other direction until we built up nose-to-tail separation. We came back behind him, and he started looking for us. By this time, we had a good spot, and we fired a missile and blew him out of the sky. After that kill, we looked across the circle, and we saw Rookie and Ken, and they were just fighting for their life over down there, flying below the treetop levels, in and out, trying to shake this guy.
Okay, we're going to come back to that and after this break, and we're going to finish up the fight, then go on to your shoot down. We're listening to Captain Jack Ench, U.S. Navy pilot. You're on Veterans Radio.